Thanks for tuning in to Conversations About Meaningful Things, the podcast where we dig into life, faith, and all the important questions. In a world that can feel isolating sometimes, we want to encourage you that you're not alone, that God loves you and isn't afraid of your questions. And that's the purpose of this podcast. In our time together, you can expect real talk, genuine interviews, and probably a few laughs along the way. Our hope is as you connect, you feel seen, loved, and encouraged as you take steps in your faith journey. So settle in and let's dive into the conversation. We're so happy to have you along.
Hello and welcome back to Conversations About Meaningful Things. So glad that you decided to join the conversation today. My name is Steve. I'm one of the hosts here and good to be back. I've got some folks here in the studio with me. To my right
is Alex. Hello, guys.
Hey, Alex. How's everybody doing? You. And then to Alex's right.
It's me. It's Brian.
Hey, Brian.
How's it going?
Good.
Good, man. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Great.
Not enjoying, we're going to date this, but the weather right now abruptly changed the past couple days to cold and dreary and rainy and gross.
Yeah.
So and, wait, it's not November?
Multiple times, too.
Yes.
It's just August in Rochester.
Yeah.
And listener, you tell us if this is your experience too, but it seems like the joke has always been for decades now that the weatherman is often wrong, but it seems like it's getting worse. Like, I'll look at the forecast and it will be raining outside and the forecast says it's not.
And vice versa. No, there's no rain.
Right.
So is it the weatherman's fault that we're having this kind of weather?
It's or? Definitely like the robots or something.
Something. But it's weird because, you know, it's sunny and then you look out 15 minutes later and it's pouring rain and then you're like, oh, wow. Then you look out 20 minutes later and it's not raining.
So
so weird.
We've lived in the Rochester area now for almost a year, and I keep hearing this phrase said over and over, and I get it now. It's the, if you don't like the weather here, just wait a few minutes because it's bound to change.
It'll change, yeah.
And it's I think we're doing an outdoor service here at church this coming Sunday. It's going to be like 85 degrees and nice. So I am grateful.
Well, that's
for that.
What the forecast says. Well, we'll see if it changes.
There's a wooden table in front of me. I'm knocking on
it's
right now.
It's going to be whatever God wants it
that's
to
amazing.
Be.
That's amazing. Yeah. So we're all here last week. And if you notice, if you're listening and looking at the dates, we missed a week, right, Brian?
Yes.
we were up to some like good stuff though, right?
Yeah. We know at least some of you actually do notice when we post and everything.
And thank
so
you.
Thank you
for that.
Apologies to those of you who are hoping to have your Wednesday filled with half an hour of meaningful conversation. But we were all here helping out serving at our kids' camp. It's our vacation Bible school that we put on here at our church. And we had about 150 kids.
That's insane.
So that's kind of toddler, just a handful of toddlers. Of some of the volunteer team members that were here. And then, that we're talking like kindergarten all the way through entering sixth grade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then about 50 volunteers, which was really, really awesome. But as you can expect, tiring.
A lot going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kids have energy and they know how to really suck energy out
they're
of
like, they're like energy
the adults around them.
Yeah. And we have them the first part of the day, so they're like, it's not like they burn some energy off.
Yeah,
so.
True.
But it was great. It was a great week, it did just delay us.
Yeah.
And so all that did maybe was increase the anticipation. So this better be a really good episode
because
people
sure.
have been waiting 2 weeks for it.
It's going to be fantastic. Oh, man, geez, we're setting the bar real high today, you guys.
I do have a theory about why kids do have so much energy growing up around. I have some significantly older cousins and significantly younger cousins being around them where people go, if only I could be four again, all that energy they have. having a three-year-old at home and knowing that she sleeps 10 hours a night at least plus still has a nap during the day, I bet if we all slept 10 hours a night, with an hour and a half nap in the middle of the day,
wonderful.
We would probably have at least a little bit more energy.
I mean, that's like two or three days so nice. Worth of sleep for me. that'd be great. Yeah.
I am curious if you're listening and want to shoot us a quick email. What's the ideal night's sleep? Like, how many hours do you need?
I need like 7 hours of sleep to feel normal the next day.
And what do you typically get?
With that. And that often does, yeah, right? Look, 5 to 6.
Yeah.
Usually. Mm-hmm. We've got 3 little kids at home.
Yeah, I'm in that range. I have no kids at home, but I'm
what's
still
your
in that
excuse,
range.
Steve?
Yeah, we've definitely brought it up before, but if you don't know, Steve is a EMT and firefighter, fire chief. So... if you ever hear anything in the background of things going
like
off.
Like right now.
Like maybe
this
right
is
now.
This happening right now.
Like right now.
That's what's going on.
We'll just, the crew will get it. I don't need to get it.
Okay. Cool. All right.
Anyway, so with us being around kids so much this past week, we've talked about parenting and everything before, but we haven't really talked about the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us that we should, we are commanded to honor our parents. It says honor your father and your mother. What does that look like? It's pretty easy, I think, to have some idea when you see kids. And you can have a snapshot of what that looks like for them to honor their parents. But what does that look like as you get older? You're getting into your teenage years, and then especially once you are an adult.
Yeah.
How can you honor them? Do you still need to honor them? What does that look like?
Yeah.
So the question is there an age at which we're done honoring our parents? Is that the question?
It's twofold. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you still have to? Or are you still commanded to, I guess, with free will? And then also, if you are, then how should we
do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, off the top of my head, there doesn't seem to be any expiration clause to those commands in scripture. Yeah. So I think, and especially because if you look at other, maybe not specific child-parent relationships that are mentioned in scripture, it does talk about honoring the older generation. Mm-hmm. So I think that's just a principle that we need to reinforce when we are younger as children or reinforce for our own children. But I think that carries forward, and I think it probably expands beyond just the parent-child relationship to the older generation, and I think we are called to honor our parents. I don't think that ends when we turn 18 or 21 or whatever. But I also think the principle is there that's something that's good to do for all of the previous generations that we honor them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what? Because I think, and just speaking from experience, I think sometimes language can get confusing. What do you guys think it means to honor? Like, what's the definition of we're saying it is a biblical idea and something that God commands us as believers to honor our parents? What does that actually mean? What do you guys think?
I mean, off the top of my head, the words that came to mind were love and respect. There's with small kids at home, like my 3-year-old honors me when she listens.
Mm-hmm.
There is a level of obeying there too, but that comes with listening.
Right.
Saying, hey, I care about you and I'm going to give you the time of day and I'm going to actually, listen to what you say. Steve bringing up the older generation, it does make me think about, listening to them give you advice. Like, you should listen to them.
Yeah.
And heed their advice. Do you need to follow it? There should be wisdom there.
Right.
Sure. Definitely respecting them.
Yeah. So the dictionary, Webster says that honor is to pay homage, reverence, deference, respect and esteem shown to another.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a couple of facets to that, right? So one facet of honor is just the idea of respecting, respecting that person or those people for probably a whole bunch of reasons. One, the fact that they're actually they're our parents. They've provided for us.
Right.
God's put them in a position in our lives to have that influence and that authority in our lives as younger people. But as we grow older, then I think, do we continue to hold in high esteem respect, give deference to pay homage to. We're not worshiping
right.
our parents or the older generation, but certainly, you know, those words create a certain image in my mind that
sure.
that we're holding our parents or those of previous generations, we hold them in high esteem and not, you know, become like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of the words, and the words I'm thinking of that are coming aren't really the right words.
Like indifferent to, or
yeah. Or like, yeah, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
I can, you know, you don't matter anymore.
Right. Yeah. I'm tracking with you. Do you think culturally, cause I was talking with a friend of ours, Emmeth, who he just went to Japan, and we were talking about just cultural differences. Like there's some cultures that are maybe more bent towards honoring the older generation. Like that's sort of built into just what's societally normal, which I feel like here in the States, sometimes you get a sense, at least I do, that the older generation sometimes is seen as a burden. Mm.
Yeah.
And like you're not really a productive members of society anymore. You're not really serving us, so we're just gonna kind of push you off to the side, and that's really sad to see that.
Yeah, I think especially in our Western culture, we tend to only value things that that benefit us.
Yeah,
and we you know we've gone through a cycle in generations over the last several generations where. We have aging generations that are more populous than younger generations mm-hmm. because of the yeah. way people had families post-war, et cetera. And so right. there is a greater burden on some of the younger generations that we have this mm. huge aging population and, it's a pain in the neck. How do we deal with it, et cetera? Right. And yeah, it's kind of that like you don't functionally benefit me anymore. So
right.
I can be done with you. And I don't think that's at all what scripture calls yeah. us to.
So we have that side of things, and I'm just curious, can we speak to that person for a moment who's going, okay, how do I do this with a parent who is has either maybe harmed me, has caused some trauma in my life, or we are so estranged, like we can't agree on anything. Maybe speak to that person who's going, like, I'm following Jesus. My parents aren't. Mm. And we, at a fundamental level, do not agree on how I should be making choices in my life. They are a toxic person to be around. Like, speak to that person for a second. What does honoring your parents look like in that kind of dynamic where the parent-child relationship is maybe a little dicey? How do we navigate that?
Yeah. So in case you were wondering, if you're listening, I think we have already basically said it, but we all agree that yes, you should honor your
yeah.
parents.
I think that's we're on the same page.
Yes. That's what the Bible says. It's pretty straightforward. I know, because that is a commandment, I believe that we are designed to do that, which is why it hurts so much when a parent, does something wrong, because we're supposed to be, it's ingrained in us to want to honor them. And so when that happens, the first things that come to me are to be grateful and graceful, meaning grateful for the things that you can be grateful for mm-hmm. they've done. I gave a speech at my graduation and made the very dumb joke of... thanks, Mom and Dad. I literally would not be here if not for you. Literally. They've helped. They were part of giving you life. So there's something to be grateful for, whatever it is that they have provided, aside from the frustrations and pain and everything, is there things that they have done for you? Be grateful for that. Mm. That is one way that you can be respectful to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, like, we all have bad days. We all do stuff. But what can we look at that's good? And then graceful, meaning be full of grace for them.
Hmm.
How can you show them that?
Yeah.
That's a big way that you can honor them while not agreeing
right,
with what they're saying or doing.
This kind of wanders over into when we've talked about forgiveness and what does that look like. Is it commanded? Is it something we just pass out like Halloween candy? Like, what is, what does it actually look like? And I think one of the ways we can respect and honor, even when a person hasn't been, let's say, respectable or honorable, right, is for us to say, I'm going to do what I believe is the right thing to do, whether that person is deserving of it or not. And so... one of the things, and that's exactly the definition of grace, right? You're offering something that isn't deserved. That's grace. But what I think, you know, we can extend love and forgiveness without necessarily also giving absolute trust. You know, so you mentioned, Alex, you know, has someone hurt us or, you know, has it been unhealthy or divisive, whatever all that category of words is. You know, can I still extend forgiveness or have forgiveness in my heart for them, whether the relationship allows for me to actually communicate that or apply it, but not to harbor bitterness.
Right.
I think when we when we do that, we will be, as Brian used the word, grace filled for them, whether relationally that gets to play itself out practically.
I think
when we're willing to forgive and show grace to people, that honors them. They may not understand it, but it also kind of can clear the deck for potential restoration of relationship. And that, you know, if a relationship has been bad, rocky, unhealthy, and then at some point down the road there's restoration, I mean, doesn't that honor, aren't you honoring each other when you allow for that? So I think think it doesn't mean that we absolutely just trust blindly, or you know, just act like everything's fine, but I think having forgiveness, being willing to extend grace, is a way that we can honor people.
That's great. So, and what I hear you saying, Steve, is that they're not, those things aren't mutually exclusive. Like, you, like, to honor your parents doesn't mean necessarily that, like, trust isn't earned or that.
Right.
Yeah.
Or they have the same place or authority.
Sure.
If trust has been broken because of things like that.
Yeah.
You know, I think we've talked about this before, but when we talk about forgiveness, there's two parts of the equation, right? There's the person who's extending forgiveness, and then there's the person who receives it also then needs to rebuild trust because they've broken that. And so, you know, you don't always have both parts of the equation in equal amounts back and forth.
Yeah.
But scripture does say, as much as it depends on you, live at peace.
Yeah.
So what's my part of the equation? That's what I'm responsible for. You know, if I have an adult or a parent in my life who has been less than ideal, how do I still honor that person?
Yeah.
Well, isn't extending grace to them, isn't extending or having forgiveness in your heart, aren't you honoring them rather than holding bitterness, vengeance, all those things, which that goes to, I want to get them back.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying, Stephen. Even just to piggyback off of that, I'm just thinking about, you know, the command of honor your father and mother. I know sometimes the argument is made with any Old Testament text. They're like, well, that was Old Covenant, right? Like, why, like, aren't we under the New Covenant? Like, there, things have changed. And I had to look this up to see where this was, but the Apostle Paul brings this up in the book of Ephesians, and he talks about in Ephesians 6:2, he says, honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you in the land. And obviously, you know, the original command was the land that they were entering was the promised land, but that it may go well for you. I almost hear you saying, and I think even the biblical principle that God desires for us as believers is it's less about our parents and it's more about our relationship and heart before us and God. Would you you guys say it, like there's a principle there.
Yeah, you know, I think most principles in Scripture are not dependent on other people. They're given to us as an individual, and our responsibility is before God, right?
Yeah.
You know, when the Bible talks about, for instance, mutually submitting to one another, it doesn't say mutually submit because you really like them.
Right.
It says mutually submit out of reverence for Christ. That's our responsibility is before God first.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, all of us are imperfect, fallen, and if us living out the one another's of Scripture is dependent on the other person deserving it, we would never do it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, if we're waiting on them to reach out, if we're waiting on them to get better, then nothing is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to convince teens of this before at youth group. It needs to start somewhere. So relationships with friends, we can get into this spiral of, well, if they cared, they would reach out to me. It's like, well, what if they're thinking the same thing about you?
Yep.
Like, it needs to start with someone. Mm-hmm. Talking about marriage, parents and kids, bosses and employees, wherever you are in that thing, it needs to start somewhere. And what you were getting at, Steve, that like as a kid, you're not responsible to change your parents, but you are responsible to be honorable to them, to respect them. And there's a funny thing about when we follow what God tells us to do, things tend to kind of flow out of that. And you'll notice that the more you respect the people around you, the more they'll start to change. So that includes parents. So kids, adult kids, if you're 50 and your parents are still around and you're like, man, yeah, that's hard. It is. But it's interesting that when you do, you'll see that they start to kind of transform and come around as well.
One of the things that happens, and we don't think about it very often this way, but you know, if I'm sitting here going, I need that person to change. I need that person to change, you know, but if I can get a proper adjustment to my perspective on whatever the situation is or whatever, then, you know, my view of them changes. Now they do look different to me.
That's true.
Right. And so, you know, I think a lot of times we're just like, I wish that person were different. You know, I might like them if they would change a couple things.
Yeah.
But then if I allow myself to have the proper perspective, which maybe it's off base, all of a sudden I see them a little bit differently. They look different.
Yeah.
They'll look as if they've changed because I'm looking through a different lens now.
Yeah.
You know, the original question, like honoring our parents and even the older generations, just some practical things. Let's just brainstorm some practical things there. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, when we're younger, you know, listening and obeying, you know, following their lead, they're responsible.
Yep.
Their authority in our lives. That's one of the things. I think as we get older and we get more in tune, maybe we're, you know, starting to be, you know, hey, we're double digits or we're teenagers now. Actually expressing appreciation, I think, is a way that we honor our parents. Like say, hey, thank you for that. I appreciate that. I noticed that about you or whatever. And I think that those types of things actually, you know, we get to a point where we're not really obeying our parents anymore, but the expression of appreciation, I think, can continue way into adulthood.
Absolutely.
So there's a couple things I just thought of, very practical things. How do we actually honor our parents? And then I think as we get older, one of the ways we honor our parents is there's a little bit of a role reversal that happens where we become more looking out for and caretakers for parents, you know? And so I think getting back to what we talked about earlier, where in our Western culture, sometimes hey, if you're not benefiting me, then I have no use for you. But hold on a second, you know, honoring our parents, older generations, by caring for them and looking out for them and being part of God's provision in their lives as they're getting older.
Yeah. You hit on some. I was going to ask the question, Stephen, and I think you just answered it, was how does this change as we get older? I think Brian said it and you said it as well. Like practically as a kid, the way we honor our parents is we do what they ask us to do because we're under their authority and leadership.
Yeah.
But there is a change in the dynamic of the relationship as we become adults. I've had conversations with some of my friends who are adults now that I think their parent is having a hard time with that role change and they are frustrated with, well, you're supposed to obey what I say because you're supposed to honor me. They're going, that's not like, I feel like God is calling me to do this, and they're upset with them because they're not heeding their advice. And I think there is a way to honor your parents as you get older. And I love what you said about it's showing them respect and appreciation, even if it's not a two-way street. I think doing everything in our power to do that. And I love, just for me and my relationship with my parents, like, I just, it's so easy to let life go by and not try to connect. And so it's a one, especially now that we don't live in the same location as we used to, where we were closer to our folks. It's a phone call once a week just to check in. And sometimes it's not really anything of substance other than, hey, you know, we had a crazy week. How about you guys? But I know that that's for us and our relationship, like, it's a really simple way I can show that I respect and honor my parents by including them in our life.
Yeah. You know? And as a parent of adult children, I can speak from the other side of that coin to say, yeah, that is something that, it is so much appreciated, because we want to help our kids launch, right? We want to help them be successful, but we don't want to be left in the dust. Right. And so, yeah, touching base, sharing a little bit about life, especially when you're in different areas, you know, you can't just stop over and see how things are going, but communicating that, those are all ways I think that we do honor our parents, because we're demonstrating value of the relationship, and that's a really key thing.
Mm. That's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. The relationship holds value to you. How many people want to have that, right? That message. Yep. Yeah. I really like what you were saying, Steve, about saying that the relationship is valuable. I think we all would want to hear that. Internally we would say, like, well, I show that to other people through my actions and everything? Like, sure, but wouldn't it feel really nice to have friends and family look at you and say, hey, I value you. I value this relationship. That's huge. We're kind of running low on time. So I guess my like takeaway from this, specifically with working with teens, they always want to know, like, well, am I supposed to do everything that they say? We've been getting it a lot with, especially as adults, do I have to do everything they say? And no, if they're asking teens, if they're asking you to do something that goes against God's word, no. But if it doesn't, then yes, you should. Yeah. You should respond to them and do what they say. As adults, Alex, earlier you said heed their advice, and that's just a saying that we have. But to heed something is to give notice to, pay attention to. It doesn't necessarily mean, like, I'm going to do exactly what you said. But I do think that's a good way to look at it. Heed your parents' advice, even, again, if you're 50, 60 years old. Times change, things change. Yeah. We learned that. Yeah. You should probably buckle up your kids in the car more often. You know, it's not the '60s anymore, whatever. But like, still, I think of teens when their parents tell them something that is good advice and they just won't listen to it at all. And they hear the exact same advice from somebody that they do like or respect, and go, wow, that was really good. It's like, yeah, your parents were saying that too. So heeding it is literally just saying, I hear you, and I'm going to take that into account, and that holds weight.
Yeah.
The answer might be, I took that, I looked into it, I've decided, or we've decided as a couple, whatever, that we're going to go a different direction, but I still respect that, and I thank you for that advice, whether or not I'm going to go through with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, saying, I hear you, and giving them the time to hear them.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, and as we wrap up, again, what you said, Ryan, was amazing. I thought, Steve, you said it as well. Honoring our parents, really, ultimately, we're honoring God by choosing to love and respect a relationship that sometimes can be a challenging one. Yeah. If you're listening, and that's you, and the relationship with your parents is not an easy one. Maybe reframe your lens to be, I'm not doing this to please my parents. I'm doing this to honor God. And I think in the doing that, your heart tends to change as mm-hmm. well. So we hope wherever you're at today, that you are encouraged, that you're inspired to love God, love people like He showed us to honor your father and your mother, however that may look like in your life. So we're so glad that you guys joined us today, and we can't wait to catch you on the next one.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Have a great one, guys.
See ya.